Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. It is time for LSU Mississippi State 2:30 on Saturday at CBS. Another SEC matchup, another CBS day type game for LSU. They've played plenty of them. This time it's in Starkville and a game that, look, LSU's going in there looking to avenge a loss in Starkville 2 years ago where they flat out got dominated. But this year, a lot more prepared, a lot more talented, undefeated, and number two in the AP poll entering this matchup with the Bulldogs. I'm Billy Embody. With me to talk about it is Shea Dixon. Shea, another SEC matchup on the slate for LSU coming off an emotional win against Florida. But you and I, and we'll get to our predictions a little later, but we think they're going to be pretty locked in for this one, and we have a good idea, as to why they're feeling like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold, and we'll talk about the second half in a second. But when we went to the postgame press conference on Saturday, Orgeron had come out and said, "Man, look, you would think they'd be back there celebrating what a win, and they're happy." But Joe Burrow silenced everybody and said, "Look, guys, don't." And his quote was, "Don't let good enough get in the way of greatness," and that he feels that there's so much more that this team can do. And he circled, and many players did, is, look, we've had the number one scoring offense in the country for weeks now, but we had never had our O-line play as good as they did against Florida. We had never had Clyde have as good of a game as he did against Florida. We hadn't seen a freshman like Ty Davis Price have that breakout moment like he did against Florida. And then the passing game looked like it normally did. So you can already see right there's improvement being made. How do you continue that? And when, you know, we met with players on Monday, Braden Fajoco said he had never seen the team come back from a game like that where they won and had a, you know, awesome environment. And, you know, you can rest on your laurels. And he said it was the opposite. He said, "You would have thought we lost, that everyone came to practice pissed off. Everyone came wanting to know how we can get better." And they put the work in knowing that, this is a chance for them to, you know, get to the midpoint of the season, feel good about that, but you've still got six games left and you're in a prime position to make a lot of your preseason hopes, you know, come true here. And then the other half of that, Billy, which Orgeron talked a lot about on Monday, was 2 years ago, last trip to Starkville. Some of the kids from this team were at that game. Some obviously weren't, Burrow and Chase and some others, but they lost by 30. And they didn't lose to a more talented team. LSU was a more talented team, but they went up there. They lost some defensive linemen, and Mississippi State ran it down their throats and threw it on them. And Orgeron talked about it. He said, "I didn't have them prepared for that. I didn't have them prepared for the crowd noise and the cowbells." And it seemed like this week he said, "Look, I know they just lost to Tennessee. They're going to be pissed off. They're going to want to come out and get an upset in a 2:30 national environment." And he said, "I feel like this week I've got a better grip on what this game really means going up there as a favorite." And because of that, it seemed like he was hinting to us that, look, I'm going to ride these guys in practice. They'll be ready for crowd noise. They'll be ready for a team that's hungry. And we're going to keep doing what we do.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. I think the thing with Burrow and his ability to get a feel for the team and kind of, you know, step up at a time where, I mean, Coach O said, you know, I think he would have had us practicing on Sunday. And while Joe, when we met with him on Monday, said, no, we would have had the day off. But to have the wherewithal to understand what they have in front of them at that moment to make that type of a statement, I just think says a lot about where this team is headed. And look, looking ahead, it doesn't really matter until they play Alabama and you can, you know, chalk that one up in the win or the loss column. But that type of leadership, that type of focus, that being set into their minds this early in the season and I know we're, you know, six games into this one already, but to have that be a focus right now says a lot, and can really, really help them as they continue to navigate in the SEC.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is the type of focus you want to see from a team at the midway point who's playing as well as they are. You want them hungry. You want them constantly wondering and trying to work towards getting better. We're seeing them get healthy again on defense, which is absolutely huge. I mean, the Texas game was the last time they've been as healthy as they are now. They're getting a lot of guys back. Glenn Logan, Rashard Lawrence is probably on the verge of getting back out there on a more full-time basis. We've seen guys step up. Neil Farrell, Justin Thomas, Braden Fajoco, Tyler Shelvin's been awesome. And now you're seeing more consistent play and bigger plays from guys like Chaisson. And we got to look at Marcel Brooks in a speed rush package playing outside linebacker. And Patrick Queen and Phillips and Damone Clark, those guys have been consistent. And look, and now again, Fulton and Stingley. Stingley's been as good as any freshman in the country. Fulton is certainly as talented as most or any cornerback that's out there. You brought along Jay Ward, who's physical as hell for kind of his stature. And obviously Cordell Flott's been really good for him this year. And then their safeties, Stevens and Delpit. Delpit's probably playing as good as he has all year. So you look at all that on defense and you have to think those guys are hungry because they know that the second half of Florida was probably the best that they've put together, you know, of two quarters on the season. They didn't allow a point. They gave LSU's offense a chance to pull away in the game, and they did just that. And I think they go into this week hungry. There's a lot of guys that are going to want to make big plays and kind of a statement, at least in my mind. We all know the offense is great, but the defense, even though they're ranked in the top 25 nationally, have gotten, you know, picked apart a little bit by the media and by themselves at times. And I think now they seem to be carrying a confidence that, hey, we're right here on the verge of being as good as we thought we could be. And now let's see how we can get better.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this is you want to see the defense build off of what they just did against Florida. You don't want to see them kind of regress. And this is a good opportunity to do this. And look, on the other side of this break, we'll break it down a little bit more. But LSU is going to be facing a true freshman quarterback. They know some things about how this RPO offense that Joe Moorhead likes to run. But I think that what stood out to me talking with the players this week is just how much this team has changed athletically. I mean, this is a team where, and we talked about it a lot in the preseason, they have athletes everywhere. And for me, that's the biggest difference heading into this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think at the end of the day, look, if this were an old LSU team, a Les Miles type team, you could say this is a trap game for them. They've gone up there to Starkville where it's tough to play. It's going to be loud. They'll be hungry. But I don't think that State can score with LSU. And we saw that at Vanderbilt. Look, Vanderbilt and State are different teams. Obviously, Vanderbilt might be one of the worst teams in the country. But they drove down the field right away and scored on them. And they were down 7-0 in Nashville. And it was like, well, damn, okay. Well, then the offense, when they got out there, I mean, it looked like they could literally score on every play. And I don't think it'll be that easy for them this weekend, but I do think that they're in such a rhythm right now to where they can jump on State early enough to where you take the crowd out of it, you kind of take the wind out of the sails of Mississippi State and don't give them that confidence that, hey, look, we're hanging around. We saw Georgia, South Carolina. South Carolina is probably a better team than State, obviously, but they were in Athens and pulled off that morning upset by just hanging around, getting some turnovers. And LSU can't afford for that to happen, obviously, and I think the answer for them will be just go score some points. And maybe we see the defense come out, and it's been feast or famine kind of there with their – I saw Cody Warsham with LSUSports.net put out a stat that LSU leads the SEC in three and outs. Well, they also probably lead the SEC in long drives that resulted in touchdowns that take forever for the other team to do it, which is what Florida wanted to do. I mean, they went out there and put together – three first half drives for touchdowns. Yeah, that stings. It hurts when they last 7 minutes each. You're keeping your high-powered offense on the sidelines. Your defense is getting worn down. We saw them make an adjustment at halftime, and it was a bunch of three and outs from there. They did give up some third and longs in some spots, but my point being is we've seen sort of a Jekyll and Hyde from the defense, and maybe this weekend we see them really put their foot down and early on keep State off the scoreboard and give this offense a chance to run. And, you know, if they're able to do that, you know, this could be a game where even in the, you know, second quarter, they're up 14 points, 17 points, and that's going to make it incredibly tough for State to, you know, have the crowd behind him and have the confidence that, hey, we can come back in this one because we haven't, this isn't an LSU team that sits on the ball. I mean, in the fourth quarter, they're going to be running an RPO spread offense, trying to get the ball down the field, and they're going to be throwing it. And that's tough to come back on if you're the less talented team.
Yeah, well said. I like LSU to be able to jump all over Mississippi State here. They're a team that Joe Moorhead's on the verge of losing them. I mean, there are rumors that he could be going to Rutgers back up north after this year. So a lot of opportunities for LSU to just go ahead and take this one to the Bulldogs on Saturday. On the flip side of things, we'll talk about how kind of things match up between the two teams. Bulldogs going to be starting a true freshman at quarterback. Joe Brady has some familiarity with Joe Moorhead. How does that help? And also, can anyone stop Joe Burrow on this offense? We'll break it all down right after this quick break from the Go 24/7 podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. A quick reminder, while we're out here grinding for you guys, show us a little love on Apple or wherever you subscribe to your podcast and leave your rating, review, and hit that subscribe button to the podcast. We appreciate you guys for showing us some love. We might just shout you out on Twitter for reviewing the pod. Shay, LSU is going to be facing a true freshman at quarterback in Garrett Schrader, somebody who, you know, has played throughout this year for the Bulldogs and certainly isn't a stranger to SEC play. We saw him spun around against K-State earlier this year in the air like a helicopter. He's kind of seen some things already. I think that has to help him going into his first start, but he's a talented quarterback, and I don't know if he's going to save the day for Mississippi State, but he's at least somebody worth paying attention to.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good coming out of high school. I mean, that was a steal for Mississippi State. He could have landed at much bigger schools coming off the East Coast. He liked the state staff. He liked how he fit into Moorhead's RPO-style offense, and that was a big commitment for him. Now, granted, this Tommy Stevens coming down from Penn State to, you know, be with Moorhead at Mississippi State, obviously Moorhead previously had been at Penn State, didn't quite work out. Stevens hadn't played well this year, so you knew eventually a change would probably come. And now they're turning the ball over to Schrader. And this is going to be what coming up back-to-back weeks between Bo Nix and Auburn in 2 weeks in this game where LSU is going to face true freshman quarterbacks. And that's tough to do for a true freshman against any team, let alone against a defense that has talent all over it that's going to be flying to the football. And then knowing that you've got to keep pace with an offense that's ranked right now as the number one scoring offense in the country. So they're going to want Garrett Schrader to play within the system. Don't try to do too much. But, you know, the key for Aranda, and I think that they know that, is let's get after him. Let's make him win the game with his arm. Don't let him run the ball all over us. Don't let them play clock control. And I think if that's the strategy, which I assume it will be, that they'll be in a pretty good spot because we saw a week ago, look, kudos to Kyle Trask. It was his first start, his first road start in Tiger State, and he came to Tiger Stadium and played really well. But he's not a freshman. He's been around in that program a long time, and he's had some opportunities before. Obviously, with Felipe Franks out, he got much more of them being a starter. But point being, you know, I think facing Schrader is much different than even facing Bo Nix, who's been playing all year. So, you know, he's got at least 7 games under his belt. Schrader doesn't have that. I think this is going to be a really tall task for him. I think they made the right move. I think this is probably who they should be playing. But I think that this weekend it's going to be really tough for him facing an LSU team like this that, like we said, they're coming off their best half of football was the back half of the Florida game. They're going to come out ready to roll. They'll be hungry. And I think that a lot of guys are going to have kind of Garrett Schrader dialed in of let's make him uncomfortable and let's see if we can force some turnovers. And if they do that, then they'll be in a really good spot.
Yeah. And how much do you think Joe Brady working with Joe Moorhead at Penn State will help Dave Aranda and this defensive staff prepare for this RPO offense?
Tongue twisters. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot. Orgeron talked about that on Monday that, you know, Dave Aranda knows what he's doing. You know, he doesn't need Joe Brady to sit in there and tell him all about an RPO offense, but he's at least going to be able to give some insight onto how Moorhead thinks about calling a game, how they want to operate, what they feel like they're good at from watching the film through six games, you know, what Schrader might be able to do for him from what they've seen in the times he's in the game. And maybe more than anything, and I could be overthinking this, but I don't think I am, is that Moorhead runs, and look, Joe Brady learned under him, and Moorhead runs an RPO up-tempo offense similar to LSU's. It's obviously done with the same players in it, but this defense all fall camp and offseason face that offense in LSU's. They go against them all the week in practice when they're doing self-scouting and sort of not just facing scout team of doing what the other team's going to want to do. And when they face scout team this week, they're going to face a scout team that's going to be doing a lot of what they've already seen all year. So I think matchup-wise, and look, a lot of teams run an RPO-style offense, but this one particularly, because it is Moorhead, because of the Brady connects, you know it's going to be similar to what LSU's been doing. And because of that, I think that gives the defense a leg up. I don't know how big of one, but I do think it's going to help them a bit because they've got a great grip of what Moorhead and them want to do on offense because they sit around and watch LSU do it, you know, each week.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely going to pay off. And on the flip side of things, while the Mississippi State defense might be facing the same system throughout the year, it's not going to look anything like what Mississippi State has rolled out throughout the year when LSU comes in and rolls it out. I think LSU is going to roll offensively. And I was talking on the phone with somebody earlier this week, and they said, well, you know, can anybody stop this offense? And I wanted to say, I mean, gosh, I think LSU went 3-and-out against Florida to start the game. I could be wrong. And then from there, they just took off. And look, I could be wrong on that, but it was Utah State where they went 3-and-out. But it's just pretty incredible just how precise, how accurate Joe Burrow is. I mean, 3 incompletions last week. I just don't see anybody really slowing this offense down and up until this point. And it's certainly not going to be Mississippi State this weekend.
No, I'm with you. I think what is the line? Is it 19.5? So Vegas thinks they're almost a 3-touchdown favorite on the road. That speaks volumes. I think that they usually have been pretty kind of spot on. Look, they had the LSU Florida game at 13.5. LSU won by 14. There's been the Texas game. There's been a number of games where the line has really been sort of spot on for what LSU's been able to do. And yeah, I'm with it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they covered. It just depends on the key for me. We'll be in the second quarter, midway through, what's the score? And if it's tight, that means you're letting the crowd hang around again in the second half. And you're going to need to come out and put your foot kind of down on the throat in the third quarter and make sure that game doesn't get close into the fourth. But if it's a 14-point game or if it's a, you know, double-digit score game, and you're carrying some confidence in the halftime that you dominated the first half in some regard, then the crowd's not in it as much. Then Mississippi State feels like they have to press and get out of their comfort zone with a true freshman quarterback to make things happen and get back into the game. So that's what I circle. I'd say, what is the score in the middle of the second quarter? If LSU's up by double digits, they're cruising. If it's a tight game, there's going to be a lot of crowd noise in the second half, and they're going to need to come out of halftime with adjustments ready to roll and with the mentality of, look, offense and Burrow and this team's done it plenty, but go out there and win it for us and see if we can get some stops on defense along the way, much like it was against Florida.
Yeah, so with that, we'll jump into some predictions here. And for me, I don't think it's close. I said this last week, but I probably – didn't give Florida enough credit for just how well they can game plan in the past couple of years against LSU, at least. And you know, while LSU did ultimately cover, so I was right on that, it wasn't this blowout type of performance. This week, I do think they bounce back with just that, and LSU rolls and dominates this one in Starkville and really doesn't, you know, leave any doubt. So, Shay, I'm going to go 55-10 LSU in this one. Yeah, I'm going to double back around on the whole LSU dominating this game thing and see if it works this week. I just don't see Mississippi State as a team right now that can kind of rally the troops and get it together.
Okay. I will go with 38-21. I think that State is able to pop a couple touchdowns, whether that's late or whether that's coming out of the gate. But I think the LSU offense is going to keep rolling. Maybe I'm selling them short here. Maybe they haven't scored under 40 points a game in nine games. So let me adjust that. I'll go 42 to 21. So that would have them covering the spread and obviously getting a big win. So yeah, I'll go 42-21. That's my pick right now. They'll move to 10 games in a row scoring 40 plus points and they'll also cover the spread.
So they'll score the same number of points that they did against Florida as they will against Mississippi State, huh?
Yeah, bro. That's how that works. Yeah. yeah. I mean, I guess I could see them also in this game running the ball some, you know, and that takes time off the clock, but look, they still score in a minute and a half each time. So again, maybe I'm selling them short. I put them over the 40 mark, so I'll give them that. Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I mean, yeah, I'll settle on it. 42-21. I'm locked in now. I'm good to go. Might as well put all your bets, put all your money on it, guys. It's done. 42-21. Don't even play the game.
All right. Well, cool. Maybe Joe Burrow will shout you out for being disrespectful post game or something. But yeah. With that, we'll wrap up this edition of the podcast as we wrap up our preview with LSU Mississippi State Tigers Bulldogs 2:30 Central on CBS. You can follow it all on Go 24/7. Keep it locked on us all weekend for all your coverage of LSU's latest SEC matchup. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.